This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on that power bill, using technology wisely, and living a more sustainable life. Hey, it's Tim Echols, your host of Energy Matters, and here on the road at the Georgia Municipal Association Cities United with friend of the program, frequent guest, Councilman Alderman Nick Palumbo. Welcome back.
Tim, it's an honor to be here with you as a frequent flyer, and just so excited to share updates from Georgia's coast and bring them up here to Atlanta.
Let's start with this meeting, and cities, mayors, council people from all over the state here. What's the purpose of the meeting?
Well, this is to educate, inform, and advocate. The City Summit happens every year in January, where we descend upon the Capitol, and there's 500 municipalities in Georgia, big and small, even towns as small as 20 people each, all the way up to Savannah and Atlanta, all joined together for days of education, outreach, engagement, and then we're having a culminating activity. We're all headed up to the Capitol.
You know, a lot of people are cynical, skeptical about lobbyists. They hear things about them on TV, read about them, but really lobbying is a basic right that everybody has. You get lobbied, I get lobbied, and here are you and your colleagues lobbying the General Assembly because they've got money, they've got laws that they can pass that positively impact Savannah, right?
Persistence is the key, and lobbying is not a four-letter word. You've got to be an advocate for your communities because these 40 wild and crazy days up at the Capitol impact everyday lives in the rest of Georgia. So it's good to keep a pulse on it, even to just connect faces with the names and let your voice be heard. It's so critically important.
And you're lobbying, of course, for the city of Savannah. You're called an alderman. Remind our audience of why y'all are aldermen and not councilmen.
Well, you know, this goes back to the old English for elderman. And alderman was established right at the founding of our city when we were a municipal corporation, and something that we've just held on to as a tradition. Other cities like Chicago, St. Louis, you'll find an alderman that's there. But we've always retained that title. It's a little bit of history that we keep with us everywhere we go.
Well, Savannah's growing. We hear all about the economic development that's happening there. I know you've got some pet projects from your city council district. Tell us where your district is in relation to downtown.
Well, everything from Victory Drive to the Vernon River, Midtown all the way down to the Vernon River. And we've used that opportunity to propel bigger projects throughout the city, including mobility options like Tide to Town. But really to latch on to what Speaker Burns just said, it's all about transportation. We've got a little project known as the Hyundai Meta Plant coming up online. We've got to figure out how to get the residents of Savannah to those new jobs just in our back porch.
Does that mean that there's going to be transit that can cross the county line and go out there? How's that going to work?
That's the topic of today and the discussion that we're having right now. How do we develop or implement a regional transportation authority to get a multi-county jurisdiction? Because this is pulling upon Effingham County, Bryan County, Bullock County, and beyond to be able to get those jobs. And we want to make sure that it's as efficient as possible because right now, to be honest with you, the car infrastructure is not ready. I-16 is still two lanes. So to be ready for tomorrow, it's going to come from public transportation and transportation options to be able to get people to those incredible jobs.
You got the CAT, the Chatham Area Transit there, but that ends at the county line. So is it going to feel more like MARTA here, where DeKalb and Fulton and Clayton are participating and they're all contributing to a fund and the counties that participate get the benefit? Is that going to, will that eventually be how it looks?
That's what I'd like to see, is everybody pulling in the same direction to be able to get to what people need the most, these new incredible manufacturing jobs. And it's not just Hyundai, it's the battery plants and all the subsidiaries that are all around it that are fueling this incredible growth in our economy. As a byproduct of that, Chatham County's posted the lowest crime numbers year over year. We've already seen some incredible benefits, and the plant's not even open yet. So look alive, you know, it's an exciting time to be on Georgia's coast.
We've had some Korean guests on our show talking about Korean culture, Korean hospitality, Korean food. Are you seeing a Korean impact in Savannah yet, or is it just too early?
Absolutely. There's a new grocery store that's opening up on Abercorn and Duran at Lucky's Market. There's new shops that are opening up to fuel that influence. And really, it's all about the partnership. We welcome everybody with open arms. This investment's going to be incredible. But we know, by and large, these jobs are going to be Georgia jobs, Georgia grown. So they're actively recruiting right now. And if you're in the listening area and you are looking for an incredible place to be employed, grow and live with your family, Savannah's the place to be.
Yeah, you know, I love coming there. It's the city I traveled the most to in Georgia. It's in my PSC district. I love Tybee Island. I love the Marine Science Center, the Metro Hispanic Chamber. You and I support those guys, and we've been out there with Alfonso, you know, many times. The parade. There's so many things that make Savannah just a wonderful area.
Well, and we've got a very special anniversary coming up as a historic city and the birthplace of Georgia. Our 300th anniversary is coming up in 2033. We're looking to establish a tricentennial commission in partnership with the city and the state. And very special, a 200th anniversary of our historic St. Patrick's Day Parade is coming up just this March.
And, of course, I'll be in that parade again. I've been in every parade since 2011. We skipped the 1 year or 2 years during the pandemic. But I'll have my sea turtle car. You know the car well. And it's got a mother sea turtle and a baby sea turtle kind of commemorating, you know, just the great work that Georgia does in protecting sea turtles.
And, Tim, for a very special treat for visitors that come down this year, we're working with Georgia Power. You know, green is the color of St. Patrick's Day. It's our city color. And we're working to change out public streetlights to green for that day. We're going to paint the town green. We're going to light the town green. So it's going to be a very special celebration. And we're going to have some great VIPs that I can't release just yet to come down for this historic moment.
You know, LED lights can be changed in color. We see it at the airport. We see it in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And now we're going to see it on your streetlight. That's one of the cool things, besides the fact they use 90% less energy.
And it's all about these partnerships that we can have in the community and all pulling everyone together for this singular moment, how to propel it forward. It's been a banner moment for us to have this 200th anniversary and really a practice run for the 300th tricentennial of the state. We're looking to partner, you know, it's the founding of UGA, the founding of our state, the founding of Savannah, General Oglethorpe, the original families. We're pulling everybody in. And last time we culminated with the coronation of the Oglethorpe Monument in Chippewa Square, we're looking ahead to what's the monument going to be this time around. What can we plan and put together with our partners in industries that have grown here, like Home Depot, Delta, and many, many more, to see what we can do to celebrate our great state?
If you're just joining us, he's Alderman Nick Palumbo from Savannah. We're at the GMA Cities United Breakfast at the Atlanta Hilton. You like coming up here to the big city, to Atlanta, or do you prefer to hang around in your beloved Savannah?
You know, this gives me a strong appreciation for home. I love coming up here to come and visit the state capitol, to see you and my friends. But it's always great to get back on the road, to come back down south. It gives you a greater appreciation for your town. And it gives partnering in GMA gives you a great appreciation for what other cities are going through. You know, there are many other cities. They're still looking to revitalize their downtown or their Main Street programs. They're looking to get, you know, new technologies and infrastructures and EV chargers that are out there. Some things that Savannah has piloted and done well. So it's really about sharing our experiences and picking up some new ones along the way.
You guys are represented well by Alicia Brown from your city, who is at our commission, represents a number of cities that lobby us and intervene in cases to make sure that the things that you're working on, solar on city housing projects, EV chargers, solar policy in general, you know, cheaper electricity, all of those things are a priority.
Well, and the beauty of our Office of Sustainability is that it is truly independent and sustainable. It's self-funding and then some. The cost savings that we've seen from the efficiencies that they've identified, from the solar panels on our city facilities, not only do they pay for themselves, but they are a return on investment. This first year, we earned over $50,000 in taxpayer savings on top of paying for the panels themselves, plus the efficiencies that they're identifying every single day to weatherize and strengthen our city.
Just a couple more minutes with Alderman Nick Palumbo, my good buddy from Savannah. We do a lot of things together, hang out. We've ridden bikes together. We've done parades together. We've had some great time.
And that's the fun part. And it's a culmination of all the work. It's a celebration of the things that we're doing to stop, to take a moment to reflect on what we're going to do in the future. You know, this year we have a special incentive. The City Council passed a resolution to push for the protection of the Okefenokee Swamp. And I'm on the way to the Capitol to go see my legislator, Ron Stevens, to go support him in House Bill 71 to help strengthen those protections that are out there. So the things that are happening in our region, they all come together in this one moment in Atlanta. It's exciting to see. To rub elbows with you, other commissioners. We just had a speech from Speaker Burns, the Lieutenant Governor. So an incredible opportunity to come and meet some very important people in our state.
Just another minute, just maybe an update from you on the water taxis that are being upgraded in Savannah and the work on the convention center across the way.
That's right. By the time GMA comes back, because the city summit happens in January, and then there's the conference for GMA in June, and by that time we'll have a brand new convention center, should have a brand new convention center to share with you all that's really going to be world-renowned and beautiful. New hybrid water taxis coming across the waterfront, and just an incredible amount of growth that's happening on Hutchinson Island as well that I can't wait to show off to you.
Well, how can folks find out more about your electric bikes that you build, your website, the work you're doing for the city?
www.nickforsavannah.com. I'm on TikTok, Twitter, X, Instagram, and Facebook, of course. But please sign up for my newsletter for Notes from Nick. It's a little insight to the work of a municipal official that's out there and a keen insight to everyday happenings in the city of Savannah.
Thanks. Coming up, Mayor Kuhn from Soperton, Georgia, the home of the new LanzaJet sustainable aviation fuel plant. Stick around. Tim Echols, you're listening to Energy Matters. Hey, Tim Echols here for GEM Car Wraps. GEM Car Wraps, this fantastic group out of Brunswick that do wraps on vehicles, jet skis, golf carts. They've got it on my vehicles. So check it out, GEM Car Wraps on Facebook.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit. And the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. Better Tomorrow Solar can install your solar panels at no upfront cost. Build equity in your own home rather than paying the utility company. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com, and see how you can make your world better.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show. Hey, Tim Echols back. Another segment on Energy Matters. Down in Soperton, Georgia today, just pulled aside the mayor of Soperton, John Kuhn, at this fancy ribbon cutting here. Welcome to Energy Matters, Mayor.
Hey, thanks very much, Tim. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, we were visiting about friends from Vidalia. Of course, we have a nuclear plant there, Plant Hatch. How important is Plant Hatch to the community there?
It's huge, not only the community there. It's big in our area. We have, at one point, we probably had 30 people from Troutland County, Soperton, working down there. And that plant has been a lifeline economically for years, and it continues to be. And it reaches out to such a large area, what we call the greater Vidalia area, although it's right across the line in Appling County. majority of the people that work there are from the Tombs, Montgomery, Troutland area there, and it's been a huge economic boon for us, not only in Vidalia, where I've been a member and a chair of the chamber for twice. Here in Soperton, it's provided a great living for a number of families for years.
Soperton's located just off I-16, and my wife and I just affectionately tease as we go down 16 many times a year that you have to plan out your bathroom stops.
Absolutely. That is one of our weaknesses that we hope that we'll be able to address over the next few years. At one point, back in the 70s and the 80s, we had a world-famous barbecue place here called Sweat's Barbecue just off of 29. And we also had two filling stations off the 29 exit. We have one now on the whole interstate, and that's on Highway 15. And it's just been because, I guess, of the easier way to Dublin and also to Metter, nobody has really come in here. But now with LanzaJet opening up their plant and ready to move trucks through here, we are hopeful to be able to get a stopping point and to be able to capitalize on that, not only out on the interstate but also in the city.
Now let's talk about LanzaTech and LanzaJet. LanzaJet, a subsidiary of LanzaTech. These folks are going to take number two corn ethanol and sugar beet ethanol initially, and all the intellectual technology that they have and apply it, and they're going to create fuel for airplanes that can be up to, at this point, 50% of what an airplane would take off with. That's a pretty amazing thing.
It is, and to think that technology is being launched here in Troutland County, Soperton, Georgia, to be able to fuel planes across the world, including British Airways and a number of those others, it is really remarkable. And to see the science behind it and to really get a grasp of how that's done is just amazing.
You know, I've been to an ethanol facility where they make it, and it's much like moonshining, I understand. I mean, they're making very potent alcohol, but they get it here. They remove the water, and then they do their magic on it a couple times and increase that carbon chain up to C14 or C16 or 17. I forget the number, but that is what enables it to then be used as jet fuel.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing to think that, you know, some guys that used to run the river here, like we call it, in Troutland County with their moonshine stills, probably in their mind they didn't understand this, but if they'd have thought about it years down, they may have thought of this before anybody else did. But you're right. It is totally amazing to know and to see this operation in progress, and to know that it's happening here in Troutland County and Soperton, Georgia, the Million Pine City, just makes it that much more special.
You know, I'm a Republican, and a lot of my Republican friends, you know, who have boats or who have lawnmowers or weed eaters, they don't like ethanol, and they've been critical of it. And I can understand them concerned about their mower or their boat. But I've been to an ethanol plant, and they're using number two corn, which is, you know, for cattle. It's not Silver Queen corn that we're going to put on our barbecue grill. And out the back end of the plant, after ethanol is made and the starch is removed from that corn, the distiller's grain, it looks a lot like cornmeal, all of that, 100% of that, then goes back into cattle feed. And I think ethanol's gotten a black eye out there when really there's all the corn is used, including the residue, and it's providing not only a cleaner fuel for us, but it's also feeding a lot of cows.
Yeah, it's feeding a lot of cows. And I, too, had been down that road and just questioning the ethanol thing because, you know, you run your boat and you don't want ethanol. You run your lawnmower, you don't want ethanol. But the bottom line is it is so advantageous for farmers to be able to produce it and then be able to get back something for the cattle that they are, you know, that they are raising. And in the long run, the long run is, you know, bottom line, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat or you're an independent, you know, we're moving towards that. And it's either to get on board and to accept that or to get left behind. And we don't want to be left behind. We have been in this project right from the start. The former administration, started this and we are continuing now. And the great thing about it, you know, most people say, well, you got to go through this process that can't be that clean, blah, blah, blah. Less than 5% of their waste is coming back into our plant. That just blows my mind. You know, when you're trying to do something else, you're going to get 10 times as much. So they are very environmental friendly. They are very community friendly. They understand that we're a small town and that we have needs, and they're going to partner with us in the future to be able to expand some things that we need. I'm looking so much forward to what is going to happen in this project in the next 10 years, and hopefully I'm still around to see it.
You know, we're sitting in my VW hybrid. I also have a fully electric car. I've actually had 7 electrics. This would be 8 if you count it as electric. It's a hybrid. But it hit me today as I think about just how many manufacturers are making hybrid automobiles that aren't getting 25 miles to the gallon. They're getting 45 miles to the gallon. We've already stood up all of these ethanol plants in the Midwest, in particular, in Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota. And we need another use for this ethanol. And along come LanzaJet and this policy that is going to create this sustainable aviation fuel. Now, all of a sudden, we are taking a very hard industry to decarbonize, and Soperton, Georgia is having a role in that.
Yeah, they are, and it's exciting. And you were talking about your hybrid vehicles. The funny thing is that the site that LanzaTech is on was built as Range Fuels, and that was going to bring ethanol into a hybrid vehicles. Never got off the ground the way it needed to. In comes these folks to be able to rescue that property. Couldn't have been anything else than what they're doing right now. And to be able to produce the alternative jet fuel, to be able to the sustainable fuel for the jets, and to make that happen here in Soperton, Georgia, Trutland County, will blow your mind. And let me just go ahead and say this too. These guys are absolutely bought in to community. They've already taken a group of our firemen and sent them to Texas A&M for training to make sure that they know how to fight a fire or to contain a spill if, for God forbid, it happens. They take safety very seriously. They're in the game. And I'm going to tell you, Jimmy and his crew and Nick do such a good job keeping us in the loop of what's going on. I couldn't be more proud than what happened today. We had people from Paris. We had people from Australia, from New Zealand, from all over the world that came to Soperton, Georgia, to be able to see this plant launch. And they are going to be saying the name Soperton, Georgia, all over the world. And as the mayor and as an ambassador for our city, that really makes it great.
Hey, just one more minute with Mayor John Kuhn here in Soperton. Mayor, what's ahead for the city of Soperton? What are you working on? What do you really want to see happen over the next few years?
Well, we've got a game plan that we went into. We had a retreat as soon as I took office, or the week before I took office, as a matter of fact, and we got a game plan. We're going to clean up the city. We are going to light up the city, and we're gonna tech up the city. We're gonna dress it up. We're gonna do some things that needed to be done years ago. We're gonna work on our infrastructure, and then after the infrastructure, we're gonna work on downtown development, and we are going to make sure that people have something to do in this city.
Just a final question: do you think the Hyundai plant, are you all too far to be impacted by what's happening with Hyundai? Do you see something happening there?
I do. I think it's going to take a great concerted effort between us, the county, the development authority, and to be able to get the word out. We, as the development authority, has bought some property out on I-16. We are the last county in the foreign trade zone. So, no, we are not out of the picture on it. We just got to as LanzaTech said, LanzaJet said today, we got to dream big and we got to sell it to the people.
Well, thanks for being on Energy Matters.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Tim Eccles from Soperton. Stick around, another segment coming up in just a minute. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Eccles and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.
Tim Eccles, host of Energy Matters, here with Jeff Pratt of Green Power EMC. Jeff, more and more EMCs are offering solar to their members, and you're seeing it grow like crazy across rural Georgia.
Tim, you're right. Co-ops in Georgia are doing a great job of deploying solar across the state. In fact, they're leaders in the country with respect to engaging customers and deploying large-scale solar to benefit all their members.
Hey, contact your EMC and ask them about their solar energy policy, or just Google Green Power EMC.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and Trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Marlin Gas Services, a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, is your leader in mobile pipeline solutions for hold, peak, and backup services to meet utilities' demand schedules, and their experts in CNG and RNG transportation and logistics solutions. No pipeline, no problem. Marlin Gas Services can provide uninterrupted natural gas service for short or long-term projects, no matter the location. Learn more about how we can support your mobile natural gas needs at marlingas.com/energymatters. That's marlingas.com/energymatters.
Hello, island friends. Let me tell you about Tim Eccles. Mr. Tim loves Georgia and helped keep our rates low. He knows everything about energy and has led by example. I hope you listen to his radio show called Energy Matters. Join me in supporting Tim.
Hey, Tim Eccles back with you at GMA with the mayor of Portadale, Georgia, Michael Patterson. Michael, welcome to Energy Matters.
Thank you so much, Tim. It's good to be here with you.
You're a new mayor. How many folks vote in the Portadale city election?
Well, we had a 220 voter turnout, which was actually a very high turnout for the city of Portadale. Our population is right under 2,000, and we have, you know, right at 10% of the voters turn out, but it went well and went in my favor with 63% of the vote in favor of my election.
Yeah, so to my listeners, Politics 101, know how many people are eligible to vote, know how many people typically vote, and then all you have to do is learn to count to 50% plus one, right, Michael?
That's exactly right, and that's what we did. I was hoping for over 100 to turn out, and we had more than that, had double that. We had 220 turn out, and so we were very pleased with this year's election.
My first entree into politics was running an election for a friend of mine that ran for Norcross City Council, and despite having three zip codes, you know, you only had 600 people vote. You only needed 301. And people are often stunned about that, how apathetic the general public is in voting. It's a little disappointing.
Absolutely, it is. And our job, I believe, is to get the information out to the voters, be transparent with them, and let them know what they can do to make a difference in their community. And a lot of times it begins at the ballot box.
Well, let's talk about how you and I came into contact. You guys were having a Christmas parade. parade, things weren't getting done soon enough. I guess you reached a desperation level and somebody told you to call me. How did all that happen?
We did have our annual Christmas parade, which is one of the biggest events for our small mill town. One of the traditions was to light the star on the water tower. Unfortunately, over the past year or two, or however long it was, the power had been disconnected from that. And we were trying everything that we could to figure out how to get power to this star up top on the water tower. It wasn't a very easy task, but during that time, I had just recently been elected. I was in a period of transition before I actually took office, and I said, I know a guy. I know my friend Tim Eccles, and who has served our state very well. Met him years ago, and I said, let me give him a call and see if he can connect us with someone at Georgia Power that would be willing to make this happen for us. And you came through. All I had to do was make a phone call. You answered, and we started the email thread. And that day, Georgia Power came out, connected the power again. Not just one crew, but there's multiple crews that actually showed up to make sure we had that star lit at our Christmas parade, and I can't thank you enough for it.
You know, I often tell people that I only really help the people that reach out to me, that I hear from, and that if you don't contact me, I can't help you, and I think you're probably learning that about politics as well, that you need people to communicate with you.
That's exactly right. We are tasked with communicating with our constituents, with the area of our responsibility, but we also need communication back. Communication, relationships, is a two-way street, and we need to make sure that as we are communicating, we're also being communicated to, and we have an opportunity to listen, because we are here to serve. That's what our job is to serve our areas of responsibility, our constituents, our cities, our towns, our counties, our state, and beyond. And it's wonderful when people actually reach out. And then oftentimes they are actually surprised that they get a response as quickly as they do. I can't speak for everybody or for all politicians, but I know for people like you and myself, we try to be the best public servants that we possibly can.
He's Michael Patterson. He's the mayor of Porterdale, Georgia. It's out in the eastern part of the state, leaving kind of downtown Atlanta on I-20, going out through Newton County. Mayor, let me ask you about the Rivian plant around the corner. I'm a big EV proponent, and the Rivian plant's going to bring a lot of jobs. Do you anticipate it impacting your city?
You know, I would anticipate it having some impact on our town, but we're such a small mill village that I'm not sure how much impact it will actually have directly on our town, but it has been a big topic around our area and, of course, Newton County and our partnering neighboring city with Covington, Georgia, and we've heard a lot about it. I pass by the Rivian office quite often on my way in to town. It is there and is there to stay, and from my perspective, I definitely want to promote the electrical and energy saving ways, and I believe it's going to make not only a big impact, but it's going to make a positive difference in our area, but not only our area, but around the country as well.
Mayor, the movie industry's big. It's big in Fayetteville at Trilith. It's big all over. Has it impacted the Newton County area and Porterdale in specific?
Oh, absolutely it has. We have movie companies filming there consistently. We have an old hotel that is privately owned, but there's a movie company that is that has it right now that is filming a TV series, and they're out there constantly. But we welcome the movie industry. They come in, and of course, it brings good revenue into our city and to our local businesses. Of course, Covington, our neighboring city, has been titled the Hollywood of the South. A lot of movies filmed there, and a lot of things spill over to Porterdale, and we welcome it. We're glad to have it, and we look forward to having more.
Have you ever been an extra in a movie?
I have not been an extra yet anyways, but I have been out at some of the movie sets. In fact, my church even hosts some of their base camps, and so we enjoy having them out there, and it's a huge production and really marvelous to see.
just a couple more minutes with Mayor Michael Patterson from the city of Porterdale. You call your town a mill town, and that river going through your town really was critical to mills being located there because they used the water for power.
Absolutely, they did. We have the Yellow River coming right through our town, and it's one of our greatest natural resources that we have, and we're very proud of it. And the dam is a beautiful scenic area where people come and take pictures at the bridge, and it's right there next to the old mill that has now been turned into loft apartment living. In fact, I lived there myself for 5 years when I first moved to Porterdale, and my family and I've raised two kids beginning there, and they used to call it their river home, and it was just beautiful. The dam flowing over, water flowing over the dam into the shoals. It's a beautiful area, and now we have a Yellow River Park, which we have a kayak launch there. We have a disc golf course. We have a dog park, a bird sanctuary, walking trails, and we are wanting to connect it more to the Newton County Trail system and actually be a trailhead for people to start or finish there as well. And so it's a beautiful natural resource that is just absolutely amazing and beneficial for our area.
I'm a big disc golf ultimate frisbee guy. In fact, in back of my Nissan Leaf sitting out at the Charger right now are some disc golfs. I'm not that great at it, but I'm better at ultimate. And I mean, I'm 63, so I'm not as good at ultimate as I used to be because I huff and puff when I run now. But have you had a chance to play on the disc golf course? And maybe you and I can have a little challenge and I can bring my disc down there and we can have a little game.
Absolutely. Well, I do enjoy disc golf, probably not as much as you or some others because I've recently picked up pickleball. And so I enjoy that. And we're looking to get some more pickleball courts or some pickleball courts established in our Yellow River Park. But I love playing disc golf because it's fun. You get exercise, it's outdoor activity, and it's great networking opportunity as well. I'm sure that you're much better than I am, though.
I'd love to see that turbine on your river come back. I know we looked at it some years ago. It was just going to be too expensive to replace. It was privately owned. They were asking for help. But I really think these days we're hearing from Fortune 500 companies that are interested in buying hydropower. So I think there could be a new value proposition coming for older dams that still have the infrastructure in place. That would be cool.
Absolutely, we would. And we always welcome growth. In fact, the platform that I ran on whenever I was running my campaign to serve as mayor of our city was to protect, provide, and promote. And the idea behind that was to protect our citizens and the history of our village, to provide quality services, and to promote the overall health and growth of our city. And so we are always welcoming new businesses, of course. We want commercial, we want residential, and industrial as well. It would be amazing to see there because I believe that even a small town can make a big impact on the community around us and the state as a whole.
How can folks find out more about you and more about the city of Porterdale?
So if they want to know more about Michael Patterson, you can visit pattersonforporterdale.com and find out all the information that you need there. Or you can visit our city website at the city of Porterdale, cityofporterdale.com.
Great. Thanks for being on Energy Matters.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's good to be with you.
Hey, one more segment, the famous hippie segment coming up. You know how that works. We play 70s music, and you figure out what energy policy we're talking about. This is Tim Echols. You're listening to Energy Matters.
As the Southeast's leading non-utility power provider, Cherry Street Energy energizes businesses like Porsche and Gulfstream in cities like Macon and Atlanta with predictably priced emission-free electricity. We build, own, and operate solar power plants for our partners, allowing them to deliver on sustainability promises with no complexities, upfront costs, or ongoing maintenance. All they get is a power bill, simple as sunshine. To learn more, contact us at info@cherrystreetenergy.com.
Tim Eccles of Energy Matters here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over the state. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. Gerd and all the folks at Solar Sun World understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work for you. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll advise you on the best path forward. And Solar Sun World now offers power purchase agreements. Find them at SolarSunWorld.com. SolarSunWorld.com.
Hello, Commissioner. I feel like it's very important that I occasionally let you know that I really appreciate the job that you do and your commitment to solar energy and electric vehicles. It really makes me happy, the idea of our wonderful state having more and more solar. Just, it really excites me. I really love the job you're doing. Anyway, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, Tim Eccles back for the hippie segment. Casey, you know I love this kind of segment.
This is your favorite segment, and it's great to close out the episode, hopefully get people on their way for the weekend.
Yeah, it's my wife's favorite segment, too, that we do every week. Well, I've got Dr. Adam Orford in here from UGA and three students, Emily, Joseph, and Drake. They aren't hippies. Dr. Orford, you went to Berkeley. And even though you're younger, that is the home of hippies, right?
You know, it's the home of hippies, but it's also the home of the tech sector and startups and a lot of other things.
Yeah, but here's how the hippie segment works. We're going to play a 70s song, and then you think of an energy policy that it's related to, and you can chime that in. Okay, Logan, ready? Here's our first song.
And here I am, close to getting tangled up inside the thought of you.
There's even a Broadway musical about him. Last time I was in New York, I almost went to that, but chose another. You know, Casey, as I think about this Barry Manilow song, one of my favorite romantic artists, right? A lot of slow dancing going on to that song. I think Georgia has made it. We're sixth in solar, utility scale solar. We've made it. We've defied the odds. We were 38th when I took office, and we're sixth now. So I feel like we've made so much progress. Casey, what comes to your mind when you hear this Barry Manilow song?
The only thing that could conceivably come to my mind, Tim, is your love for nuclear power and the fact that Vogtle 3 is operational. Nothing else.
Yeah, Dr. Orford, the Berkeley guy, you've got to have something on this one.
Oh my goodness. You know, honestly, what this told me is that I don't know very much about Barry Manilow. Grew up in the 90s. Grunge music, I can give you that, but yeah.
Yeah, Drake, what do you think?
I think what just occurred to me is how not romantic certain environmental policies are. I'm imagining sitting in front of, you can't have a real fireplace, but maybe one on like a screen and not a real candle, but maybe like an electric one that kind of flickers and, you know, you're eating tofu. It's not necessarily the most romantic thing, but it's a good thing.
Oh, I love it. Well, let's go to our next song. Yeah, the love train. You guys, you young guys in the studio, you didn't have the opportunity to watch Soul Train on Saturday afternoons like I did, you know, when I was growing up and practiced the dance moves and everything like that. But wow, love train. Casey, what do you think of when you think about the love train?
Where do we start? I'm thinking solar here, right? Like I'm thinking, because you did the Solar Express back in the day, right?
Yeah, and that's right. It was on the train.
All sorts of people who are, you know, on that train right now for all sorts of reasons, loving solar.
Yeah, I've got to love me some train here. I remember doing some kind of not public hearings because they weren't official, but they were kind of a town hall meeting I did back in 11 and 12 about a train that would go from
Atlanta to Savannah. The rerunning of the old Nancy Hanks line, because I felt like in New England and California, certainly Europe, Asia, trains are phenomenal. But here in the South, they're awful. They're just awful. And there's, I think right now, with Savannah growing the way that it is, that we would have an opportunity for a train that runs from Atlanta to Savannah. Let me go to any of my other studio audience who wants to chime in on this. Drake, I see you there.
We had talked about, we're going to be competing in New York City. We were talking about how we were going to get there. We talked about taking a train. We could get a room. We could all just take the train. And then we realized it would be 31 hours on that train to get there. You know, small steps. As certainly maybe something that our infrastructure is not ready for yet, but there's certainly environmental benefits from taking the train.
And, right. You know, on both of those points, there's actually an effort underway to expand high-speed rail service in the Southeast. I think the Savannah line might be one of those, but also going up to Chattanooga and going up to Charlotte and eventually connecting into that Northeast corridor. So it's not going to happen overnight, but hopefully at some point, you know, within the next couple of decades, you'll be able to take that trip in less than a day.
You know, Senator Ossoff, who I co-chair the Hydrogen Brain Trust with, he is very keen on the Savannah-Atlanta train, and he's a U.S. sitting U.S. senator, and this is really going to be very dependent upon federal funding. And don't forget, this isn't going to be a diesel high-speed train. This is going to be electric. It's going to require a tremendous amount of electric infrastructure, you know, for all of those miles, right?
And that kind of thing has been built in Europe. You look at them, they're running on those electric catenaries. So it is absolutely doable, and I'm looking forward to seeing better infrastructure here in the U.S.
I recently took that Amtrak train from Atlanta to D.C. My daughter, we were going up. I was doing a congressional briefing for Georgia congressional staff, and I invited her to go. She said, "Dad, let's do something adventurous." "Okay, what?" "Let's take the Amtrak." "Oh, please." And so we took the Amtrak. It took forever. It's so rickety. I got COVID on the thing going up, but it was an adventure. It was hard to sleep because they blew the horn at every crossing, right? So it's, you know, you're dozing off, you know, and they're blowing it, and so it was a real challenge. All right, let's go to our final song.
You and me been finding each other for so long, and the feeling that I feel for you is more than stronger. Take it from me, if you give a little more than you're asking for, your love will turn the key. Darling, I would wait forever for those lips of wine. Build my world around you, darling. This love will shine, girl. Watch it and see. If you give a little more than you're asking for, your love will turn the key. I just want to be your everything.
Casey, I just want to be your everything. Not your everything, Casey.
I'm disappointed.
No. Casey, I think about the song, I have so many solar advocates who come to me, and they want solar to be our everything. And they don't have an appreciation for the diversity of fuel mix that we have. I mean, they hate natural gas, usually. Definitely hate coal. But we've got this incredibly diverse grid that's been getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner through the years. Renewable energy, it cannot be our everything. Or am I wrong, Casey?
I actually think that renewable energy can be almost the everything.
Almost everything.
Almost the everything. And it's funny because, one, I just want to say there's quite a theme to this hippie segment, so our listeners probably have picked that up. But, you know, what I was thinking about listening to that song was the pairing of solar and batteries, right? That batteries are sort of the everything to solar. And, you know, I think if you've got a flexible resource on the grid like batteries, and you've got the ability to adjust demand, then you can, in fact, power all or almost all of the grid using renewables. But it takes a different sort of mindset.
Dr. Orford, you had your eyes closed during that song. I mean, are you a Bee Gees fan?
You know, what this got me thinking about is we're going to talk about politics in a while, and music brings people together. I wish that songs could be played before court cases and PSC hearings, that everybody could just take a minute to kind of
That's brilliant.
Actually appreciate the togetherness of music. And then, you know, maybe disagree about policy. So, yeah, I just support the arts and music, and thanks for the musical segment.
Yeah, how about any of our student guests? We got a minute left. Any of you dare chime in? Drake, I know you're sitting there. I'm going to put you on the spot, Drake, because you have an answer for every question that I ever asked you.
I'm sure that's not true, but I was just thinking how much I would love to be able to break it down and sing during some of my oral arguments. Sometimes it gets intense. Sometimes it gets fiery. And if we could all just relax and just enjoy some healing Bee Gees, I think that would do a lot.
You've had songs at the commission before.
You know, we had a public witness who brought a ukulele in, and she sang her, you know, her opposition or concern. I was so impressed that I went to her later and said, I'd like to pay you to write a song about me. And she wrote a song, and we've aired it. In fact, we're going to go out. We're going to go out today on that song. So thanks, everyone, for being in the hippie segment today. Casey, Dr. Orford, Emily, Joseph, and Drake, great to have you guys. And you, our listening audience, we appreciate you being here. Check it out. Energy Matters every week right here. This is Tim Eccles.
Tim supports charities while helping those in need, fights human slavery, and teaches children to lead. He educates consumers, a radio show each week. Tim listens to all parties, and God's wisdom he does seek. Keep him in service with a clarion call. He's great for Georgia and works hard for us all. Vote Tim, vote Tim, let's keep him in. Vote Tim, vote Tim, and we all win. Vote Tim, vote Tim, keep Georgia on track. Vote Tim, vote Tim, he's got your back. Vote Tim, vote Tim, let's keep him in. Vote Tim, vote Tim, and we all win. Vote Tim, vote Tim, his record is a fact. Vote Tim, vote Tim, let's keep him. Let's keep Tim on Georgia's track.
Yeah. Logan Booker here, producer of Energy Matters, and I want to tell you about the Advanced Power Alliance. For more than 20 years now, the Advanced Power Alliance has been leading the energy transition in America's traditional energy states. They advocate for wind energy, solar power, and energy storage, all while partnering with traditional resources to ensure that America has abundant, affordable, cleaner energy to power our homes, our lives, as well as our economy. With the growth of solar and advanced storage and power generation technologies, every state now has the opportunity to be a leading energy state. Advanced Power Alliance is proud to partner with the Georgia Large Scale Solar Association and work with the Public Service Commission, Georgia Power, and their customers as Georgia continues to be one of America's leading renewable energy states. You can learn more about the Advanced Power Alliance at poweralliance.org. That's poweralliance.org.
Having a family member or close friend in crisis is something we have all experienced. North Point Christian Counseling can help. Whether it's marriage counseling or a loved one struggling with abuse or addiction, North Point Christian Counseling has counselors in Macon, Athens, Kennesaw, and Albany to help bring healing and recovery. To find out more, call 478-973-9358 or find them online at northpointcounseling.org. That's 478-973-9358 or northpointcounseling.org.